With my topic, I will focus more on the two worldwide applicable systems of soil classification, which is soil taxonomy and WRB. Soil taxonomy, you know very well. I don't know if you know WRB. So please allow me to give a short introduction into that system. Okay, behind the acronym is written World Reference Base for Soil Resources, and it has two roots. One root is the soil map of the world, issued by FAO in the 70s, and this soil map had two legends, first edition in 74, second edition in 1988. And it was designed as a legend, but implicitly it was also a soil classification system. And the other route is named International Reference Base for Soil Classification. This was a working group of the International Society of Soil Science, and they came out with two drafts in 82 and in 90. And this combined together led to the editions of WRB, the first edition in 1998, presented at the 16th Congress of the ISSS in Montpellier, and there it was also endorsed as official correlation system of the ISSS. And the second edition was presented last year in Philadelphia on the 18th Congress of the now IUSS. This is the book. The author is the IUSS Working Group WRB, edited by Erika Micheli, myself, and Otto Spargarn. You can download it from the web. And of course, we found some errors after it was printed, and for that we have this correction, update 2007, which can also be downloaded. The architecture of the system. It has only two hierarchical levels. The upper level is the reference soil groups, and the lower level are the soil units, and they are constructed by adding the names of qualifiers to the names to the name of the reference soil group. So we add adjectives to the noun. The upper hierarchical level, we have 32 reference soil groups. Soil taxonomy has 12 orders, WRB 32 reference soil groups, and they are identified by a key. Now some more words on the lower hierarchical level. We have 179 qualifiers, and they are defined in a common alphabetic list. Some of them can be combined with many reference soil groups, others only with one or a few reference soil groups. And now we need, as a second step, for every reference soil group, a list with... There is no mouse. Let it be a mouse. Okay, thank you very much. For every reference soil group, we need now lists of the possible qualifiers. Which ones of the 179 we have in total are possible for that reference soil group? We have two lists, one with prefix, the other with suffix qualifiers, both in sequence of priority. So for classifying a soil at the lower level, we need to check the priority list from top to down and add all applying qualifiers. Why do we have prefix and suffix qualifiers? It's just to have more comfort. The list should not be too long. But there's also the idea behind that the prefix qualifiers are the typical characteristics of that specific reference soil group and the integrates to other reference soil groups. And the suffix qualifiers, these are the rest. How long are these lists? They are containing 53 qualifiers, cambisols with 53. I have the longest list, nitty soils with 19, the shortest. But a special soil has less qualifiers because many of them are mutually exclusive and most soils have less than 10 qualifiers. With that, we have a flexible system, which is an advantage, but we have also a fuzzy system, so nobody knows how many soil units we really have on Earth. It must be thousands. This is an example. Example is a Luby soil. This is a soil with a higher clay content in the subsoil and a high cation exchange capacity and a high base saturation. Here we have the list of the prefix qualifiers and the suffix qualifiers, and in my example, the qualifiers which should apply are in red. You see here in the prefix qualifiers the sequence, first the typical qualifiers, then the integrate to other groups, and finally the haplic, which is used if none of the previous, neither typical nor integrate, applies, just to illustrate that we have reached the second hierarchical level. The construction is made in the following way. We have the name of the reference soil group in the center, and then go through the prefix qualifier list. This is the first, which applies, cutanic, which means it has clay skins, the second, albic, that there's an albic horizon, the third, stagnic, that we have influence of stagnating water. Then the suffix qualifiers in brackets and with commas. Ferric, there are hard iron oxide nodules. Greig, process of potolization started. And clake, it's rich in clay, also in an absolute vein. The definitions are similar as in soil taxonomy, based on diagnostic horizons, diagnostic properties, and diagnostic materials. They have long definitions, predefined and special characters, and they all have a name. And now, at both levels, the upper hierarchical level and the lower one, that means in the key and in the definitions of the qualifiers, it's asked for the presence or absence of certain diagnostic horizons, properties, or materials, and for some additional characteristics. We also have guidelines for soil description and the manual for laboratory analysis, but now let's talk about hierarchy. The first question about hierarchy is, how many hierarchical levels do we have? WB has only two, soil taxonomy has six levels. But a more important question is this one: how do we make the decisions on each hierarchical level? The first possibility is using a key. So we have a decision between fixed characteristics or fixed combinations of characteristics. So if we enter here at the left-hand side, we have to decide either to enter on the left branch or in the right branch. And the branch which is not entered, all these characteristics do not play a role, unless they are defined once again at the next level on the branch we entered. So at every hierarchical level, one characteristic, just one, is added, and the number of characteristics corresponds to the number of levels. The other possibility is by independent combination of characteristics. That means all important characteristics are added, may there be a lot of characteristics or only a few. And this implies that all have to be within the same hierarchical level. If we want to add many or a few, all have to be at the same level, and the number of characteristics is not related to the number of levels. So on the right hand side, WOB has two levels. The first level, the identification is made by a key, the second level by independent combination of characteristics. Soil taxonomy has six levels, the first are by a key, and the fifth and sixth by more or less independent combination. So some questions can arise. The first one, is an individual soil well characterized by its name? You know how that works in soil taxonomy, but how does it work in WRB? How works it for land use and environmental issues? How works it for generalists? So let's just make an example. We have the name of the soil and then design the soil. This is a long soil name with 10 qualifiers in umbric, endostagmic, cutanic, vetic, acrisol, ferric, alumic, humic, profondic, endoclaic, and chromic. So let's see what comes out. Acrisol means that we have an Arctic horizon. This is a clay increase in the subsoil, and if it's an acrisol, we have a low cation exchange capacity and a low base saturation. I put here on the left-hand side some small letters. U means this is important for management, and G means it has a relation to genesis. Well, in if indeed, everything, every characteristic has some genesis. The next is the qualifier vetic, the first in the prefix list. You see, I had two trees here, and now I have just one. Vetic means having a very low cation exchange capacity. Next is cutanic, which cannot be designed. It's just a genetic phenomenon. It has clay skins. And so let's go to the next. Endostagmic. Stagnic means we have inflation of stagnating water. And endo means this occurs, and always means it occurs from 50 to 100 centimeters. And you see, I painted here the interiors of the aggregates are with oxidized colors and the outer parts with reduced colors. So the next is umbric, like the umbric epipodon, we have an umbric horizon, the same meaning. And then we have ferric, we have hard iron oxide nodules, not really relevant for land use. And then alumic, so you see I made the tree smaller because of the high influence of aluminum saturation. Then humic means a lot of organic matter also below the umbric horizon. Then profondic means the Arctic horizon goes down to very deep depth. And finally, no, not finally, then the next, endoclaic means that the subsoil is rich in clay, not only relatively but also absolutely. And chromic means having an intensive color. Well, on the left-hand side, the name, in the center, the constructed soil, and on the right-hand side, the real soil. So this works more or less. But the second question, are soil units according to WRB adequate for mapping? You know that you have good mapping possibilities with soil taxonomy, but how is that working with WRB? It works well at a higher level. So this is the map of Europe and Russia and Mongolia, and at the reference soil group level it works very well, but we have serious problems on the lower level. Let's make a simple example. We have an area which is dominated by alluvial soils. This is simple because many areas are not dominated by a soil. They have a lot of different reference soil groups. And the other advantage, there are only four soil units. Most areas will have more. So the first is the stagnic albicotanic alluvial soil. This is the example which I gave you previously. The second soil is not albic. The third is not stagnic and not ferric. And the fourth is not stagnic, not ferric, not gray, not clay, but siltic instead. So the previous attempts to use the new WRB 2006 for mapping were made in that sense that, for instance, people mapped the common qualifier. The only common one is the cutanic here. Or people mapped the first qualifier appearing in the prefix list, the first applying qualifier, which is again the cutanic. And so they mapped the cutanic alluvial soil. But this is not, cutanic does not add much information. It just says that there are clay skins, and most of the alluvial soils have. So our recommendation is now that just the mapper chooses the qualifiers which are most important for his purposes. For instance, stagnant or not could be very much important, or clay or siltic could be important. So this is the recommendation to choose the qualifiers which are most important for the specific purpose, regardless whether it's prefix or suffix. Conclusions. So a WRB soil name on the lower hierarchical level provides in most cases sufficient information for a good characterization of an individual soil regarding land use, environment, and genesis. If I say in most cases, this is a bit optimistic because we just started to test the system, but we made very good experiences. We never will know if it works in all cases because the system is fuzzy. And the information we can draw out from the soil unit name is somewhat in between the subgroup level and family level of soil taxonomy. Soil mapping, according to WRB, is clear on the upper hierarchical level, but we have still serious difficulties with the lower level. And systems which have a stronger hierarchy, like soil taxonomy, do not face this problem. Thank you very much. Well, in some systems, their experience, how it corresponds and how correlation can be made. I can tell you about correlation between the German system and WRB, and we have a lot of problems because the problem is mainly on soil survey and laboratory analysis. There are different limits in soil survey, estimation of coarse material content, textural classes, if they are only determined in the field, there are the problems. And if the sources, the primary data, cannot be compared or can only be compared with some difficulties, also the correlation between the soil units will be difficult. And I think with the Romanian or the Chinese system, we will have similar problems. I know that there are some experience with correlating the new Chinese system, the taxonomy, with WRB, and this works out more or less well.
Other questions? Jimmy?
What can the user, an average user, find more useful for kind of understanding the soil and the benefits he has from that, using the taxonomy, either in the US or WRB, or using the soil property in that generating those maps rather than maps based on taxonomy?
I think this depends on what this user is interested in. So the information you get from the soil name in a taxonomy or other classification system, this gives you some parameters that others do not influence or not yet influence in our soil names. And for these, you have to refer on other data. I think there's no general rule, no general answer on that question.
Other questions? Not, let's thank our speaker again.